Second and goal. To Burkhead. Burkhead to the end zone. Hello, Super Bowl. New England is heading back again for the third straight year.
Super Bowl 53 gets underway. It's 10:30 a.m. local time tomorrow. We are excited about this. It just grows and grows and grows here in Australia. It's the New England Patriots up against the LA Rams. Our man over there stateside is Dick Fain from Radio KJR Seattle. He joins us on the line now. G'day, Dick.
Hi, guys.
Hey, where you're watching this one? I know you've seen it in Vegas a few times. Are you in Nevada?
No, I'm not. You know, I've done it a few times in Vegas, which is fantastic. We've done shows from a sports book on the Thursday and Friday and Saturday prior to the game. We've done that probably 3 or 4 years. That is a lot of fun. I've also done it from Super Bowl Radio Row a couple of times, which, you know, it's fun for a couple of days, and then it gets old, and you want to go home. But no, I'm just at home this time. Gonna watch it at home, and then talk about it on the radio the next day.
Remember, two nights in Vegas is enough. Three is too many. So we know that firsthand. New England $1.74 here in Australia. The LA Rams are $2.15. I want to ask about New England first up. Just incredible what they've done. Is it drawing to an end of the Tom Brady era, or is it drawing to an end of the Bill Belichick era? What I'm asking is, who's the most influential individual in Patriots football?
Boy, that's a great question. Normally, it's the quarterback. Normally, a great quarterback can make up for a mediocre coach. But in this situation, Belichick has just proven, especially with what he's done on the defensive side of the football, to be a mastermind, the greatest defensive head coach that we've ever seen in the NFL. And he does it with just middle-of-the-road type players. He brings guys in that fit his system, and they always seem to peak at the right time. Guys, yeah. This was not a team that I thought was a Super Bowl championship contending team about 2 months ago. I really didn't. I thought it was going to be Kansas City in the AFC, which it almost was.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be the Saints in the NFC, which, let's be honest, it should have been if it wasn't for the worst call in playoff history a couple of weeks ago. But the Patriots, if you can call the Patriots a surprise team, I think they have been a surprise team just with the way that they have peaked at the right time, whereas the Rams were, I think, a much better team 2 months ago than they are right now.
And, Dick, Bill Belichick won his first Super Bowl with the Patriots in 2001. There was a guy who was just 15 years of age at the time. His name is Rams coach Sean McVay. Is it simply the master of the apprentice?
Yeah, I think it is right now. I think everybody that knows McVay knows that this isn't just a Johnny-come-lately, that he's going to pop onto the scene and be good for a couple of years and then flame out or get figured out. I think that truly the great football minds think that he is one, and he is going to be a guy that is going to lead his teams to many Super Bowls over his career. And who knows? I mean, he's so young. God, the guy could be coaching for 40 more years if he wants to. I mean, our own Pete Carroll here in Seattle's almost 70. He's almost 40 years Sean McVay's senior. So Sean McVay may be coaching in 2055 for all we know.
It is amazing, isn't it? MVP, we start talking about that. Obviously, Brady comes up there. Jared Goff, if we're talking about the coaches and how different they are in their career trajectory, then we can almost say the same about the quarterback. Has he been such a surprise, Goff, in what he's been able to do? And the thing that I like about him when I watch him play and I see him interviewed, he seems to be so calm for a young man.
He is. He really has. He's one of those guys whose heart rate never gets too high.
Yeah.
I will say that he does get a little bit rattled when his earpiece turns off. Now, and maybe some of your fans may not know over there that when there's 15 seconds left on the play clock, the head coach cannot communicate with the quarterback anymore. There is an earpiece in the quarterback's helmet where the coach has constant communication with the quarterback and giving him instructions up until there's 15 seconds left on the play clock. Jared Goff has a tendency to freak out a little bit, and when he can't hear the coach, like he couldn't last week many times in New Orleans because it was so loud, or when that play clock goes down to 15. So I think that's going to be really an interesting thing to look for in this game is, one, does L.A. use hurry-up? Will they go quick snaps where they're snapping the ball with 16, 17, 18 seconds left on the play clock so Sean McVay can continue to talk to Jared Goff throughout the pre-snap? Or will Bill Belichick find a way to slow the Rams down a little bit and make sure that that headset turns off. So then what Belichick will do is he'll change his looks. He'll change his defense between 15 seconds on the play clock and about 5 seconds on the play clock to really try to confuse Jared Goff. So that's going to be a really interesting thing to watch tomorrow.
Wow. You kind of alluded to it there, Dick. Is it a bit too simplistic to say it's going to be the offense of the Patriots v. the defense of the Rams?
I think really it's going to be the running games of both teams. I think the it's going to be one, whichever team has the most success on the ground. And the Patriots have shown a propensity here in the playoffs to run two running backs, so they'll have a lead fullback and then a tailback. Usually Devlin is the fullback and Sony Michel as the tailback, and it's been very, very successful. It's kind of old-school football, guys. If you go look at videotapes from the 1980s, they used to use a fullback and a tailback all the time. When I was growing up playing football, we always had a fullback and a tailback in an I formation, or we had a pro set with two running backs behind the quarterback. They've gone away from that in recent years to the one running back, sometimes zero running back sets. But New England will go old school, and statistics tell you that the Rams have struggled defensively against that type of formation, the fullback and the tailback. So I think we're going to see Devlin is a lead blocker from Michelle a lot tomorrow, and we'll see how the Rams can defend that. If they have a trouble defending that, then I think New England's going to win this game. On the flip side, Todd Gurley, how healthy is he? He only got four carries 2 weeks ago. Sean McVay says he's healthy. Is he just throwing shade at us? Does Gurley really have a knee issue? He's had knee surgery in the past. I think Gurley will pop a little bit. I think both teams will be pretty successful running the football tomorrow.
Who's America cheering for, Dick?
Boy, that's a great question. I think normally in most Super Bowls, America is cheering against the New England Patriots. I think it may be a little bit different this year because not even L.A. fans like the Rams. The Rams are kind of a team without a home. They just moved from St. Louis a couple years ago, so St. Louis hates them, and L.A. hasn't had them long enough to even enjoy them. So L.A. is not particularly rooting hard for them either. So I'd say probably, certainly in the building, it's going to be more Patriots fans than it will be Rams fans. It'll probably be about 70-30, maybe even 75-25 Patriots fans.
Who's your wallet cheering for? Who's going to win it?
Well, my wallet's cheering. It's hard for me to cheer for the Patriots, but the way I look at this is pretty simple. If I were to look at the end of the game and say, I put my money on the Rams and the Patriots end up winning, I'm just going to end up kicking myself because I'll be telling myself, did I really bet against the GOAT? Did I really bet against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick against essentially a rookie quarterback and a rookie head coach? That's just asinine to do, you know, and so I'd really be kicking myself. Where on the flip side, if I bet against the Patriots and the Rams, who are absolutely capable of winning this football game, if they happen to win, well, then at least I went with the safe side. So I'm taking the safe money this time. I'm going to take the Patriots, certainly on the money line. You know, the 2.5 is about where it should be. If you could get Rams +3 anywhere, that's where I'd start to change and flip over to the Rams side. And that's what we've seen the money do. I mean, the money has been, it started out heavily on New England. I mean, the Rams were the favorites at the beginning of when this first came out.
Yeah.
They're about a 1.5-point favorite. The public and the sharps just bet this all the way over, all the way as far as Rams +3, and then that's when the blowback came, and everybody jumped on the Rams at +3, which I think they should.
Well, no surprise here. The guys at Tab get it spot on. +2.5, the LA Rams. That's the $1.90. -2.5, New England in at $1.90 as well. The Rams, outsiders, $2.15. New England, $1.74. Dick, it's a huge day. Super Bowl Sunday in America. I hope you enjoy it, and thanks for your time this morning.
Sounds good.
Dick Fain there, Radio KGR Seattle. Appreciate his insights into Super Bowl 53 from Mercedes-Benz Stadium.